Matthew, let's go through some of the research which would back up your theories, your theories of neuron theology.
Okay. Well, I'll start with the neurophysiological research that's been done over the last 10 years or so. It sort of started off with a Dr. Ramachandran at UC San Diego who specialized in epilepsy and found that a very large percentage of those who came to him who had something called temporal lobe epilepsy had a high degree of hyper-religiosity. They were extremely religious people. They spoke of God a lot. And he found this kind of curious, and he started doing some research. What he found was, for some reason, a very high percentage of these people are very religious, and that during their seizures, they have religious experiences. So a high degree of temporal lobe epileptics in the midst of their seizures, seconds before their seizures, during, and then after, they have these very intense religious experiences, and they sometimes, right after their seizure, they come out and they're crying and they're full of a feeling of ecstasy that they've been touched by God, etc. Even Dostoevsky, who was an epileptic himself, wrote in his book, The Idiot, he wrote, "I have really touched God. He came into me, myself. Yes, God exists. I cried. All you healthy people can't imagine the happiness which we epileptics feel during the seconds before our attack." So based on this, he started looking into the brain and wondering if there was any connection between the temporal lobe and religious feeling, religious sentiment. He started hooking these people up to electrocephalograms where he would actually read them a combination of words, some of them that were passages from their religious text and others that were just passages from the day's newspapers. And he found that when he read religious texts or even in some cases showed them religious icons, not only did their meters go off the charts, but sometimes it would trigger their seizures, just like with some people where a light source, a flashing light, can trigger an epileptic seizure. With temporal lobe epileptics, basically religious content or icons can trigger it for them. Then to further investigate, a man named Michael Persinger, who was studying Ramachandran's research, found this very curious, and he invented a helmet called a transcranial magnetic stimulator, which basically can electrically stimulate various regions of the brain. So he decided to take this helmet of his and point it at the temporal lobe, and what he found was that a high degree of people that he put this on aimed at the temporal lobe, when they would take it off and ask what did they experience, they said that they actually felt this like sense of spirituality, that they felt the presence of God, etc. Then there are people who do ethnobotanical research, who basically are studying the chemistry behind the various drugs that all these different cultures have used and written about throughout the centuries to elicit a religious experience, be it the Aztecs using, you know, psilocybin, or the Hopis using peyote, et cetera. He found that the chemistry was latching to the same region in the brain, therefore chemically triggering these same experiences. Then you've got Jeffrey Saver at UCLA Neurologic Center. And he was a historian who started doing some studies on some of the religious prophets through history, and he found that documentation pointed to, just as Dostoevsky was a temporal lobe epileptic, so have a lot of the world's historical religious leaders. And he found that everyone from the Apostle Paul to Muhammad to Joan of Arc, in historical writings about those prophets, were supposedly temporal lobe epileptics.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So indeed, what these people, you know, filled with ecstasy and filled with a vision of some type of, you know, some type of divine creator, perhaps they were just suffering a type of mental dysfunction that triggered these parts of the brain that generate religious, you know, religious ideology. Then Michael Persinger, the same person who created the temporal lobe, the transcranial magnetic stimulator, the helmet, started going to schools and asking students and doing research, basically, you know, dipping into brain research. And what he found was that 19% of high school students who expressed having had intense religious experiences while in their teens had previously suffered some sort of a head injury. So that there is actually brain trauma can be involved in religious experience as well. Again, pointing to it's all coming out of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got, following up with that, you've got Eugene DeKeeley of University of Pennsylvania now deciding to take people in the midst of meditation and prayer, people who are proclaiming that they are having a transcendental or mystical experience and wanting to see, well, what's happening in their brain. So they started taking people, they started with some Tibetan monks and asked them to meditate and put them in an MRI. And when they were in their peak of their transcendental experience, what they believed was transcendent, he had them pull a string which turned the machine on and began reading their brain. He also compared these same readings with some Franciscan nuns and monks who, in the midst of prayer, not meditation, but who also were describing the same types of symptoms, a feeling of serenity, a loss of sense of self, a loss of time and space, a feeling of bliss. He also put these same people into this, what they were actually SPECT scans of the brain, and found that the same thing was occurring. And to give you a quick breakdown of some of the things that were happening in the brain, one of the things, for instance, that they found was that if you meditate or pray, your brain, the blood flow changes in your brain. So, for instance, a part of our limbic system called the amygdala gets a decreased blood flow if we meditate or pray. The amygdala is the part of the brain that generates fear and anxiety. But when we meditate or pray, it gets a decreased blood flow, therefore diluting our anxious experience and therefore filling us with feelings of serenity, tranquility, bliss. So our usual anxiety, our usual stress in life is completely dissipated when we meditate or pray. Then he found that, for instance, the brain's parietal lobe also got a decreased blood flow,